Morning to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 this morning. It's some very familiar verses this morning, but also there's a thought there that's probably a little bit different than what we usually emphasize in these verses, but it's something the Lord laid upon my heart this past week. We've been talking about having a biblical worldview during these times, or during these trying times, during these end times, whatever, however you want to characterize it. And here it's there's a word in this verses, the word conformed. And I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. He was on the road with his wife, and they were there, and they were talking, and they had to stop by somewhere, and they had to go into a gas station. And he doesn't like wearing a mask. Of course, I don't know if there's anybody that really enjoys wearing masks. And he said, he was joking his wife, he said to his wife, yes, yeah, my wife's going to put on a mask. She says she's a conformist. She conforms to whatever anybody tells him but himself. So his wife listens and does whatever. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And I told him my thoughts on mask a little bit, because he said, I just won't go in. I said, it's because your wife's there. You can make her go in instead. And so the thought there was, she says she was just conforming to what was told. Now, masks are a hot button topic today. If, in my mind, if you're going into somebody owns a property and it's a place and they ask you to wear a mask, I'm respecting the owner of the property. I'm going to wear the mask. If they tell me not to wear a mask, that's fine. If I don't want to go into that, if I don't want to respect them and by whoever owns it, you might have a difference of opinion. I think the mask thing is a little bit overblown, but I also understand how some people feel it's something that people are doing to be able to be protecting others from the virus. Understand all those things completely, but the pastor was making fun or joking his wife, saying, hey, you're conforming to what they're telling you. And I says, well, I think she's just being respectful of the place of business. And are we conforming to this world is the question. And it says here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And that's what the scriptures are saying here. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that word conformed is an interesting word. And I've been thinking about it, and that's what the Lord laid upon my heart this week. Did you know that word conformed is found just in one other place in the Bible? Anybody know where it's at? No? It is in the King James Bible, that's right. So conformed, in Romans 8:29, it says conformed into the image of his son, that he's predestinated. It says Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, there are two different Greek words. That's why you guys already knew that. That's why you thought it was a trick question. But it's the word conformed there, and it's kind of interesting. In one spot, it says, don't be conformed to this world. But in another spot, it says to be conformed into the image of his son. So the challenge here that the scriptures is giving is, hey, look, don't become like. You say, well, what does the word conformed mean? I'm glad you asked. It means to fashion self according to, or to fashion alike, that is to conform to the same pattern. Meaning it's becoming like it. It's conforming and it's fashioning themselves after. So in the scriptures, what it's saying is, don't fashion yourself after the things of this world, but fashion yourself after the things of Christ and become like Christ. So the title of this morning's message is just simply the word conformed. And what's interesting is found in verse number 2, at the end of verse number 2, acceptable and perfect will of God. So how are we going to find the perfect will of God? And the thought here, in my mind, there's three steps here. First thing is found in verse number 1. It's called the presentation. It's presenting our lives, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Second thing is transformation, which means we're not going to conform to the world. Instead, we're going to allow God to transform us and to the ability to realize what God's perfect will is. One preacher put it this way: present yourself to him, sign the contract, and tell him to fill in. Don't be afraid of that, because when you present yourself to him, then you'll be transformed from what's on the inside, will be able to come to the surface. You'll be able to he says, you don't find the will of God finds you. As you surrender yourself over to God, God then provides and shows you his will. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, it's a challenge to live in this world and not to be conformed to it. It's a challenge not to want to be like it in many ways, because we hear so much teaching. We are pushed by so many different outlets. But God, we want you to help us this morning. We want you to encourage us. We want to become like your son. We don't want to become like this world. As we consider this word conformed, and we consider how to have a biblical worldview, let us understand who we're going to let shape us, who we're going to let mold us. If we're going to let what the world say to shape us and mold us, or if we're going to let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to shape and mold us. Help us not to conform to this world, as the Word of God says, but instead help us to be conformed into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So first and foremost, I think you understand where the message is going. It says, be not conformed to this world. That means don't become like it. Don't become fashioned after it. Don't see how close you can become like the world and still be right with God. Instead, the challenge is to actually conform into the image of Christ. The way I heard a preacher one time say this about sanctification, and I thought it was kind of neat. We all start over here as baby Christians. We all start off as young believers, new Christians, desiring the sincere milk of the word. And someday, way over there, we're going to someday be like him. Won't that be wonderful? We're going to be like Christ. And we won't have to worry about so many different struggles that are here. That's someday. And sanctification is where we start off from the beginning and see how close we can get to becoming like Christ while we're here on this earth. Here on this earth, we have a choice of whether or not we're going to surrender ourselves, whether or not we're going to yield ourselves, whether or not we're going to conform ourselves to the image of Christ, or whether or not we're going to fashion ourselves after the things of this world. So the challenge for today is, if we really truly want to live in a biblical worldview, if we really want to see these times and these troubling times, these end times, if we're truly going to live in a biblical worldview, we're going to have to say, who are we conforming to? Are we conforming to become more like him, or are we conforming to become like this world? And the challenge that's found here is found in verse number 1. It's the presentation. The presentation. Look what it says here in verse number 1. And once again, this is probably, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but it's probably one of the most challenging verses in the Bible for me. Because the reality is, if we would live this verse every single day, if we would present our bodies to the Lord every single day and say, Lord, I'm yours. I've been bought with a price, like we learned a few weeks ago in Corinthians, when it says, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So in our prayer list, as a daily prayer list, I believe we should look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and says, you know what, Lord? This is not my life. This is not even my body. I've been bought with a price. Now, God, with that thought in mind, I am offering my body to you as a living sacrifice today. God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? If we looked at our lives like that, think about some of the things we wouldn't say. If we say, okay, here's my sacrifice, Lord, I'm giving up what I desire, think about some of the things we wouldn't do. Think about some of the things that we would do. So it says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, he says, I beseech, which gives the idea of beg. Paul is saying, hey, look, I really desire, I am begging you, therefore, brethren. Now, it's referring to people that are saved, believers. Then it goes and says, by the mercies of God. So he's saying this is the reason why we should be willing to, because of the mercies of God, because God has been merciful to us. You think about the mercies of God, that word mercy is talking about a person whose compassion and forgiveness is shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Which it means is that they have the ability that person deserves punishment. They withhold that punishment. They're merciful to them. And Paul is saying, based off of the mercies of God, based off the fact that God is not giving us the punishment we deserve, there's something we should do. We think about the mercies of God. We think about where hell is and what hell is created for, the devil and his angels. But any of those that have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God that do not receive Christ as their personal Savior is headed to that horrible place called hell. But because of the mercies of God, we don't get saved by the mercies of God. We get saved by the grace of God. But because of the mercy of God, he provided his way into heaven. He provided a substitute. He provided a sacrifice. Jesus Christ came to this world. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt because we could not pay it on our own. By his mercy, we are provided a way of salvation. And Paul is saying, because God has been merciful to us, because God has been good to us, and I think we believe that. Most of us know that a God that created the heaven and earth is merciful and been kind to us and gracious to us. He says, based off of the mercies of God, he says, this is what we should do, that you present. We think about that word present. It means to bring forward. It means to show. It means to, in a sense, yield, is what it's talking about here. He says, present. And like I said, each day, if we would go before God and say, God, okay, here's my body. I'm presenting it to you. And what are you presenting it for? It says that you present your what? Your bodies. That means all of us. That means all of our personality. It means every part of us. You know, leaning not on our own understanding, we are saying, God, here is my life. I'm giving it to you. He said, present your bodies. And look at the next phrase, daily sacrifice. And he says, present your bodies, I'm sorry, a living sacrifice, not daily, living sacrifice, which means in my life that I'm living, it's alive. It's not. I'm not presenting something that is dead. Pastor Browder passed away this past week. Had the funeral service yesterday. If you ever think that I have a long preaching service, you should have been there yesterday. It was like almost an hour and a half. It was great, though. It was all three sons got up. All three sons preached for a little while. All three sons. And it was one of the best funerals I've ever been to. But I can imagine a lot of people that were there and they're standing in the heat. They're probably thinking, when is it going to get done? But an hour and a half service outside by the graveyard, I had never seen anything that long at a graveyard service, but I was really encouraged by it. And if you ever think I preach long at a funeral, I'll tell you to go talk to the Browders. That was a lot longer than I preach normally. So, Pastor Browder gave his life. Once again, I'm not trying to lift up a man. I don't even know Pastor Browder that well. But what I know about Pastor Browder and what I know his son said yesterday, he's somebody I want to be like because he was like Christ in many ways. But he's gone now. He is not able to present his body as a living sacrifice. It's gone now. What the scriptures are saying and what Paul is saying, based off the mercies of God, we should take what we have, our bodies, not present somebody else's bodies, not present something we don't have. We take our own bodies and we offer it to God and say, Lord, this is what I'm sacrificing to you. But you remember, it's not something that we belong to anyway. It's not something we own. But Paul is saying, hey, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present, you come before him and say, God, here's my body. And some of you might be saying, well, my body ain't worth much. I'm old. I hurt. I ache. I this, I that. It doesn't matter. He says, if you really truly want to know the will of God, it says at the end of verse number 2, that you may be able to prove. You look at what it says in verse number 2 at the end. It says that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. If you really want to know how you're supposed to live, what the will of God is for you here and now and today in these trying times of living a biblical worldview, you start off by saying, here's my body. It's not discovering the will of God. It's being in the will of God and he reveals it unto you. He says, present my body a living sacrifice. That means every day I get up and say, God, it's yours. You can have it. What is it that you want me to do with it? And I say, well, Pastor, don't I got to go work? Obviously, God knows that you work and you have a job. He wants you to be responsible. But he wants you to read his word. Oh, Pastor, I don't have time. That means your body's not a living sacrifice. You know he wants you to pray. You know he wants you to memorize. You know he wants, say, Pastor, when I have time, a sacrifice is not making choices on, hey, what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do. A living sacrifice is saying, here, I'm giving this over to you, God. Now you give me what you want me to do. You want me to be a witness? Hey, that's fine. I told you I'm going to be a sacrifice. You don't want me to do this? That's fine. I'm sacrificing this. Hey, you want me to learn your word? Hey, it's fine. I'm a living sacrifice. And then it keeps on going, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I know what some people say, I've given my life over to God, and I think what I'm doing is acceptable. But the challenge here isn't what we think is acceptable. The challenge isn't based off of what I think is acceptable or what you think is acceptable. The challenge here is saying, hey, look, I'm offering my body as a living sacrifice, and then I'm trying to please one, an acceptable. And we've mentioned this audience of one before. And we live our lives for an audience of one. We live our lives for God. When I preach, I try to preach for an audience of one. And the idea, I understand the people that are here, I understand the different age groups, I understand all that, but I'm not preaching to please anybody. I'm trying to preach the way that I believe would please him. When I sing, as bad as it may be, the audience is audience of one. I'm not trying to please others, but in my worship, that I'm able to please him, then praise the Lord. When we serve, we're serving as unto the Lord. We're serving as unto one. And so our lives here, he says, look, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, based off the mercies of God that you present, that you go and you say, here, Lord, here's my life. You take it. A living sacrifice. I'm not going to wait till I'm dead. I am actually going to live out this sacrifice. I'm going to get on the altar and I'm going to stay on the altar. I'm going to say, God, this is my sacrifice to you. Here's my body. And he says, which is holy and acceptable unto God. And that last phrase is the one that gets so many people. You say, Pastor, that seems really, really unreasonable. Would God really expect me to give my body back to him, my life to him? Well, look what that last phrase says, which is your reasonable service. You know what that word reasonable means? It means being rational. Saying that, you know what, that's rational, that makes sense. If God, who created us, sent his son to die for us and has demonstrated mercy and grace to us, then what should I hold back from him? And the answer is nothing. If we're going to have a biblical worldview, we have to see first and foremost, how are we being conformed? And we're going to look at this challenge of being conformed to this world and being able to shun the things of this world, because my life is not about me. It's a living sacrifice. And I can't, if I'm going to be a living sacrifice, it means I'm going to walk away from the things of this world and going to embrace the things of Christ. Now, and you see that last word, reasonable service. It's talking about a ministration of God. It's talking about our worship. That as I'm taking my body and I'm presenting it to God and saying, Lord, it's yours. And that is a reasonable thing. Some people think, hey, if I give God Sunday, I'm doing good. Hey, I give God Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's his time. The rest of it's mine. And even if you're, what in the world's eyes, a good Christian, if you read your Bible and you prayed for a half hour each day, hey, I'm good, I'm living. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying here that based off of the mercies of God and based off your relationship with God, that we should be willing, and not just it's something that's extraordinary, not just something that seems like it's crazy that we would even do. It's crazy to the world. But in Paul's eyes, and God has inspired Paul to write this, it is your reasonable service to offer your life and offer yourself back to God and say, God, here's my life. Do what you want with it. And verse number 2 begins, shows how we can do that. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. So how in the world am I able to offer my life as a sacrifice? It's because what is conforming us? One of the greatest challenges in this world is to say, okay, what is molding me? What is shaping me? And in the world in that we live in today, you have so many different people saying so many different things that they want you to conform to their way of thinking. We haven't gone, we don't live in a world today that many times people say, okay, that's how you believe and this is what I think, and we can still be kind one to another. It's not that. It's if you don't listen to what I say, then you're wrong. If you don't listen to what I say, I'm going to force you to listen to me. If not, there's going to be consequences to pay. You have to conform into what I'm thinking. And that's what the devil wants to do with the world. The devil doesn't care how you're conforming as long as you're not conforming into his image. The devil doesn't care if you join this group or join that group or you give your life to this or you give your life to that. As long as you don't give your life to him, everything's okay. You can give your heart over to so many different things. You can let this world conform your thinking. You can let this world conform yourself into different images that this world has provided. As long as you're not conforming yourself into the image of Christ. And that's the challenge over here. The devil doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't say, hey, you got to choose from this one or Christ. The devil says, hey, you could be this or you could be that or you could be this. How many false religions are there? There's many false religions out there. Hey, I don't care if you're a Buddhist. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care. As long as you're not going to conform into his image, I don't care. You can conform into the image of this world. The prince and the power of the air is saying, I don't care if you join this movement or you could be part of this movement or you could be part of this movement. As long as you're not part of that movement, it's okay with me. And he's saying here, be not conformed to this world. There are some things that you're going to have to shun. There are some things that you're going to have to say, just because I'm part of something is make me not like him means I need not to be a part of that. I think about what it's talking about, shunning the mold. It says we are commanded to not be conformed to this world. The word conform means to fashion or to shape. It actually literally means to mold. We are not to allow this world to squeeze us into its mold. We are not to allow the world to make us like it is. You see, the world and those who are controlled by its influences are vastly different than what God intends us to be. Those that are letting the world influence us to the point that it controls us, it controls the way we think, controls how we feel, and controls what we do, it's not what God desires us to be. There are many other concepts that can be added to our list, and when we think about the different things that control different people, but they are all dramatically different and dramatically opposed to what God's trying to do. We need to be careful that we don't let anything in this world squeeze us into its image, because our desire is to be like him. Desire is to be conformed into what? Not fashioned like a man, not fashioned like this world, not fashioned according. We are supposed to be conformed to the image of his son. So how do we do that? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of his mind. We think about the shaping of the mind. We're commanded not only to conform, but also to be transformed. This word transform, it comes from the English word, gives us the English word metamorphosis. Describes a transformation of a caterpillar that goes through a transformation to become a beautiful butterfly. But the caterpillar and the butterfly are the same creature. What happens when the caterpillar enters the cocoon and later emerges as part of the that part of the insect that resides on the inside, it's allowed to manifest itself on the outside. So how is this accomplished? It's accomplished by the work that's done inside the cocoon. You say, Pastor, how in the world can I be transformed? The Bible says here, by the renewing of the mind, the renewing of your mind. So how can all this be accomplished? It's by surrendering our will to God, by sacrificing, by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, filling our mind with the Word of God, and by ordering one's life according to a biblical worldview and the teachings and commands of God, and by cutting itself off from the worldly influences that are trying to change us and trying to mold us and trying to make us. People, the world, are not satisfied with just, hey, this is my opinion, you can have your opinion. No, the world is interested in changing your mindset. The world is interested in changing the way you think. The world is interested in making you sure that you don't conform into the image of Christ. And you say, Pastor, what in the world, how can I do this? It says, by renewing of your mind. It's by putting yourself and first saying, God, I'm in your hands. This is my life. I am giving myself over to you. I'm not going to conform myself to this world. My goal is to become more like Christ. And there's plenty of verses that talk about following Christ, because some people might say, well, Pastor, that image of Christ is coming someday. Are we supposed to do that here or now? The scripture says, let this mind be you which was in Christ Jesus, saying that now in this world you can have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be followers of me, even I am also of Christ. Paul was saying, hey, look, you can follow after me because I'm following Christ. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Over and over in the scriptures, it says, hey, you're supposed to be conforming. You're supposed to be shaping yourself after the image of Christ. What did he tell the disciples in John chapter number 13? He washed the disciples' feet. And what did he say? He says, you call me Lord and Master. He says, and you see that I've washed your feet. Now, I've left that as an example to you. Now, wash their feet. Wash others. Over and over, he gave us an example of how we're supposed to live. Conformed into his image. The challenge here is, am I going to let the world conform me? I mean, what's shaping our worldview here? What are we listening to? What are we allowing to affect us and to mold us and to make us? Well, I think that's okay. Somebody else says, I don't think that's okay. Well, I think this is right. Well, I don't think this is right. And you come over here, what does God think? What is going to make me become more like him? What is going to help me to conform into the image of his son? Stop letting the world conform your thinking. Stop letting people and stop letting things, because the world is good at what it does. The devil is very good and tricks lots of people into believing lies. And once again, one lie might contradict another lie because he's a father of lies. He doesn't care what you're doing or what you're thinking as long as you're not coming like his son, conformed into the image of his son. You say, Pastor, how does that happen? Well, sometimes God uses difficulties. In the day and time we're living in today, there's difficulties that are happening all around us. And sometimes he allows difficulties to happen so that way we can learn something about ourselves and so he can make us stronger. Go ahead and take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, there's a story about Paul who says he had a thorn in the flesh. And with that thorn in the flesh, he had asked God a number of times to take it away. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, God gives Paul an answer that hopefully can help us this morning. He said, Pastor, I don't know why difficulties happen. I don't know why the world is struggling. I don't know why all these things that are happening. And God and Paul didn't understand why he had to have this thorn in the flesh. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, look what it says in verse number 9. And he said unto me, we'll start in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might be depart from me. He says, there was something in my life I didn't want there. There was something that was causing me issues, something that was causing me to slow down. Something, if I thought I could get rid of it, life would be easier and I could serve better. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Verse number 9, and he, talking about God, said unto me, my grace, talking about his unmerited favor, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what the scriptures is saying here is, Paul had something in his life he didn't really enjoy. He was offering his body as a living sacrifice, but he says, hey, this thing is, can you take this away? Can you get rid of it? And in the scriptures, what's being said here, he says, I went to him three times, and he said no each time. But he said, this was his response, my grace is sufficient. He says, I am going to give you grace enough to handle it. And the day and time that we're living in, we're saying, how are we supposed to make it through? God says, I give you grace enough to handle whatever situation you're in. At no point in time are you going to have to revert and conform to this world. You can continue to conform into the image of his son. I will give you the grace to handle whatever you go through, whatever it is. No matter what happens in this world, I will give you the grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Then he makes a statement, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's teaching Paul something. He says, Paul, when you're weak, that's when my strength is made perfect in you. When you go through trials and when you go through adversities, when you go through hard times, he says, that's when my strength becomes real to you. That's when my strength is perfected and matured in you. If Paul hadn't gone through some of the things he had gone through, he would never have gotten to the spot where he is at in verse number 10, 9 and 10, where he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what Paul says here, he says, I learned something, that God's grace is sufficient, and because God's grace is sufficient, his weakness made God's strength perfect in him. And he says, now, when I come across something, I'm going to glory in that infirmity. I'm going to be thankful for the infirmity God allows into my life, because in that infirmity, God makes it stronger. God lets the power of Christ rest on me. And he said here that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes we bemoan the problems. Sometimes we bemoan the issues that are happening in our life. Paul is saying, I see this. I see God's grace being sufficient. And because God's grace is sufficient, he is strengthening me. And as he strengthens me, I will now glory in that infirmity. I will glory in that hardship. I will glory in that trial. Because why? That the power of Christ may rest on me. He said, it's important enough that the power of Christ that would rest on me, then I'll take what he gives me, and I will even glory in the fact that he gave it to me. And then it says in verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. If we're going to have a biblical worldview, we have to come to the point to understand the stresses, the persecutions, the hardships that are happening in our life today does not push us to become conformed into the image of this world. Instead, we don't ask God why. We don't revolt from God. Instead, we look to God and say, God, use these things to help me to become more like you. The problem that we're having is today, these problems are happening. We see the issue, we see the problem, and we're going to the world to let us say, okay, how am I supposed to respond? How am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to say? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Help me understand what the perfect will of God is. And what we need to do is say, hey, here's my body, God. I'm presenting it to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, you show me and teach me what you want me to do. I'm not going to let the world conform me. Instead, I'm going to let you transform me by the renewing of my mind, by putting the word of God in my heart, by putting the word of God in my mind, how I can become more like him in this. I'm not going to let the stresses of this world take me out. Instead, I'm going to look at these verses. I'm going to say, Paul said that this infirmity was something that made him stronger in the Lord. And even when it said that the power of Christ may rest on me is more important than the infirmity that I'm going through, the hardship that I'm going through, the thing that I'm suffering, if it's going to make me stronger in the Lord and have the power of Christ rest on me, then I'm willing to not just accept it, I'm willing to glory in it. I don't know about you, but I look around the world and I see some issues and problems, and I complain. I whine sometimes. Why has it got to be this way? Why has it got to happen? But when I read verses like this and I understand, okay, God, I've given my life to you. I don't understand what you're doing with it, but it's yours as a living sacrifice, and I want you to know what your will is. It begins by presenting. Then it comes to your transforming. Let God transform you into the image of his son. Don't conform into this image. Instead, fashion yourself after Christ, and then you'll realize what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. I mean, how many of us want to know the will of God? Well, I already know the will of God. Is it a biblical worldview? Or have you let something else conform you and fashion you to what you think is a biblical worldview? The challenge is today, it begins first by presenting your body. It begins by saying, God, whatever it is that I haven't learned from you or learned from your word, it's yours. This is your life. Do what you want with it. I'm presenting it. I'm giving it back to you. Lord, here it is. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to go through, I'm willing to do it because it's not my life anyway. I'm giving it back to you as a sacrifice. Now, show me what is your will. I read this sermon illustration a long time ago, and I enjoyed it, and I thought it was appropriate for today. It seems a man found a cocoon of a butterfly one day had a, he was watching it for a while, one day had a small opening appeared. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours. As it struggled to force its body through that little hole, then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as it had gotten as far as it could, and it could go no further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors, and he snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small shriveled up wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that at any moment the wings would become larger and expand to be able to support the body, and the body would become smaller, which would just contract in time. But neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of his life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly. You say, what are you getting at? What the man in his kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle to require for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening is where God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready to fly one day, once it achieved its freedom on its own from the cocoon. It's because he was willing to open up the cocoon early, the butterfly never had the opportunity to completely grow into what God intended it to be. And there's a lot of people out there today that wants God to take away these problems and these issues. And all God is doing, he is trying to conform you into the image of his son. So what are we going to do with the problems that we have? What are we going to do with the issues that we have? Are we going to learn from them? All we have to do is, I'm going to present my body today. Or here it is. You're God. It's a reasonable service because it belongs to you anyway. Now, I'm not going to let the world conform me or change my heart or change my mind. I'm going to let the Word of God renew me to become into the image of His Son. And then the Word of God will reveal unto us what the will of God is. I like that, what that one preacher put it this way, is at the beginning when we mentioned about the will of God. What's on the inside comes to the surface. It's the same thing with the butterfly. Once on the inside, the cocoon comes to the surface. You don't find the will of God. The will of God finds you as you surrender to whatever His will is. This morning, I want to encourage you. I don't know why the Lord lays certain messages on my mind and my heart, but when's the last time you really said to the Lord, here it is, this is my life? No, this is your life, Lord. I'm giving it back to you. Whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you want, it's okay with me. I am sacrificing. I am putting myself on the altar as a living sacrifice today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. I am presenting my body as a living sacrifice. Here it is, Lord. You tell me what you want me to do. Don't let the world conform you. That word conforms used twice in the Bible. Conformed, to be not conformed to this world. Conformed into the image of the Son. Are we living a life that's fashioned after Christ? Or are we looking more like the world? People say, oh, it's okay. It's more modern. You guys, no. Conformed into the image of His Son. Let's not worry about the different trends of the world, because there's a lot of people that are ungodly and unworldly that look like they would be biblical things, or they look different things. There's a lot of different lies out there. The true test is, am I becoming more like Him? And how do you know? You first say, God, here's my life. I'm presenting it. And I think it'd be a good thing to add to your prayer list each and every day. I'm presenting my body today. A living sacrifice. I'm presenting my body. Lord, here's my life. What is it you want me to do today? What is it you don't want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? What are those things you want me to give up? What are those things you want me to add? It's not my life anyway, and I'm just presenting it to you as a living sacrifice. Don't let this world conform you. Instead, let God transform you into the image of His Son. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I know this is a challenge that so many of us really need to hear. When is the last time we've really gotten alone with Him with an honest heart and said, God, I am presenting my body today as a living sacrifice. I want it to be holy and I want it to be acceptable unto you. And that's not unreasonable. That's what I should be doing to begin with. And Lord, I pray that each person that's here this morning would give consideration as when's the last time I truly presented my body, was willing to follow what the Lord wanted me to do. Lord, I also pray for that person here today that doesn't know you as Savior. Maybe not just one, maybe many. That doesn't really truly understand the mercies of God and what God's done for them. Lord, I pray you speak to their heart. That they'll come and help us to allow us to help them show them from the Word of God how they can be saved and on their way to heaven. And Lord, I pray for each person here that is a believer, that they would shun the things of this world, that they would not allow the world to conform their thinking, but instead they would allow God to renew their minds with the Word of God, and that allow God to transform them into whatever your perfect will is. Lord, we're all asking and seeking, hey, Lord, what is your will? But it begins with us presenting our bodies. It begins with us allowing you to transform us, Lord, and Lord, then we'll realize whatever it is your will was as we live a sacrificial life. Not just sacrificing things, but being a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have a time of invitation.